Get up, BDL. It's time for the Inside Podcast number 9 with your friend Mike, the Canadian Nightmare, and yours truly. I'm Scotty, the undisputed commissioner of fantasy baseball. We got to catch up today with BDL legend and longtime Kill Devil Hills GM Ort of the Elevation. It was great to hear from Ort after the up and down year he's had. And, you know, even with the club's challenges this year, the Elevation are, well, they're still in the playoff hunt. And we took time to pick Ort's brain about where the Elevation are on the BDL ladder, where they're headed, and what, if anything, can be done to slow down his West Division rival Crawford Cramps. What a season the Cramps are having still. Plus, Mount Rushmore rears all four of its ugly heads for the first time in this installment of the pod. We're trying out a new segment, and we hope you'll enjoy it near the top of today's show. Hey, here's something new. Starting with today's episode, the Inside Pod and its companion shows are hosted on Captivate. Now, what that means for you, the listener, is there are now more ways than ever to hear content generated by the BDL Podcast Network. You'll now find us on all the popular podcast subscription services like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Radio Public, Downcast, or pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. My recommendation is to manually add the Inside Pod's RSS feed link. You can find that link, by the way, in the forum thread for today's show, to a podcast app that includes the ability to manually add your favorite content. Among others, you can do this with Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or my personal pick for podcast listening, Downcast. If you're a Spotify user, and I know a lot of folks are, it lacks the ability to add shows manually, but you can find the Inside Pod easily on Spotify by using the search term BDL Podcast Network. Just plug that into the app's search function and our feed should pop right up for you to subscribe to. So add us to your favorite app or hit that subscribe button to stream us, download us, or just tell Alexa that you love us. It's all good. We're here for you. Or if you're not tech savvy enough to use a podcast aggregator, just listen to the show in your browser as usual, right on the BDL forum with the provided link. So in that way, nothing is changing, guys. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Inside Pod. You are listening to the BDL Podcast Network. Crank it up for number 9 because the Inside Pod is on fire. Hello, BDL. Welcome back to the Inside Pod. Mike, we are at number 9 today, coming back at you as we enter turn 4 here in the BDL 2021 season toward the playoffs. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing really good. We are knocking these things off fast and furious these past few weeks.
We sure are. We sure are. You know, that's speaking of fast and furious, yeah, I'm learning that young teenage girls now, there's a weird Vin Diesel thing that seems to be going on. It's all my daughter can talk about at the moment. And I've tried to explain to her that this, you know, this guy is like 4 foot. No, he's your height, really. He's like 4'9".
I did not know that.
Yep. Yep. It's true. It's true. And, but anyway, I try to build dad up as much as I can, but she's not quite listening to me.
She's a smart kid.
I don't know about that, but
I think it's after mother, clearly.
Oh boy, it's going to be back on the air again this week. Yeah, we're knocking them out fast, but there's a lot going on this time of year. A lot of headlines to hit, and you know, as we approach the playoffs here, a lot to talk about. And we're happy to be back again. Wanted to take a really quick look here, Mike, if we can, at the state of the league. This week, not a whole lot of change since the last time we got together for this show. Really, the matchup that we see across the league for the division crowns, that race has not changed, or the race, rather, has not changed between the Moncton Mounties and the Malibu Bay Bears. They are swinging uppercuts and going back and forth there, seemingly week by week. Right now, the Mounties up by one game. I believe they were back a half a game when we talked to Stephen of the Mounties just a few weeks ago. So that continues to be a hotly contested division race, and one I know that we're all keeping an eye on as we inch closer to the playoffs here. Not that it'll have a great impact on the seedings for the playoffs per se, but in any case, it's always fun to watch those division races. But it's the only one we got this year. Crawford still holding out a 55-game lead over the second-place Lions in the West. That just continues to boggle my brain. You continue to hold out your Rockets a 22.5-game lead over the Double Downs. Hey, Kevin, we talked to Kevin last time here on the show. And, of course, a 16.5-game lead in the South. Mathematically, some of these races are still, I guess, technically up for grabs in the South and the East, although not matchups or not races, rather, that we expect to come down to the wire.
Yeah, we basically have two races left in the league. We have the one in the North with Moncton and Malibu. That one will certainly come down to the last week of the season where they play each other.
Yep.
And then they'll play each other in the first week of the playoffs. So those two teams are going to be sick of each other come that point. And then
they're getting to know each other quite well.
Yep. They are. And then there's a race for the final wild card. And that's kind of an interesting race because there's a bunch of teams that are all within shot of that. Like the Lions, I guess. But what is it? Lions, Cars, Elevation, Amish are all within, I don't know, 3-4 games of each other, I guess.
Yep. They're all bunched up. You've got, of course, the one seed in the PCL, the Cramps, the two seed, the Mounties, as things stand right now, the three seed, the Bears, second place in the North, and the Killer Cars have just barely fallen out of the playoff picture at the moment. With the Lions taking that last seed, the second wild card there in the PCL at the moment. And that is really close and could change. Looking beyond the top of the divisions, I think the most compelling other race that we're seeing right now, what's happening in the East is just nuts. And that is in the context of the ACL playoff picture. Of course, the Rockets with the number one seed right now in the ACL, followed by the South Division leading Generals. And of course, you have the second placed Boston Double Downs in the East holding down the first wild card. And then for the second wild card, you have both East teams that remain are sitting on a 565 winning percentage at the moment. They're both 28.5 games behind the East Division leading Rockets. So that last wild card spot right now in the ACL is deadlocked.
That
is going to be very compelling to watch here over these next couple weeks after we get out of this matchup period.
Yeah. And they're both sitting at 565, which would be good enough for first in the North, good enough for first in the South. And those two teams are playing each other this week. They're just hoping that I can take care of the Double Downs, just so they can close that gap a little bit. That's been a tough matchup for me this week, though. So I think Boston's going to be in a pretty good situation going into these final 2 weeks, and it'll just be up to NorCal and Carolina how they handle the Rockets and the Double Downs in the final 2 weeks and see who makes it, I think.
Yeah, and of course, as you've started to mention there, the Damage with a pretty commanding lead over Carolina right now in their matchup as we are looking at the scores live, recording this on a Friday night. The Damage hold a 6-3-1 advantage in that matchup.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we both, I think, agreed that the Double Downs were coming on strongly here at the end of the season, but you're about to dispatch them fairly handily there in the matchup with the Rockets and
that's
and
a lot. It's a lot closer than it looks.
It is close. It is certainly very close. You know, not really a whole lot of other surprises going on in the league right now, with the exception, I guess, probably of the Generals matchup with the Chicks. And if the Gens end up falling in that matchup,
we're going to have some fun on the forum. That's what's going
to
happen.
You won't have to have fun on the forum. I might just sell the team and quit. of course, Crawford out there doing Crawford things against the Lions right now with a 9-0-0-1 score currently in that matchup. So, you know, a lot of predictable outcomes happening right now across the scoreboard. But some of those races, you know, divisionally looking extremely tight. It looks like the Wallabies are close to securing a rare lopsided victory against the Vipers this week. If that score does hold, it's, you know, fairly close matchup. Some categories are out of reach already, but not too many there. But 8-1-1, where that matchup currently sits, not that there are any implications.
I guess theoretically, if the Vipers would have won a lopsided victory against the Wallabies and the Gens, you know, had a close loss, that division could have gotten, you know, not interesting, but a little interesting in the final 2 weeks. I guess the matchup with you and the Vipers could have at least meant something, but it doesn't look
like interesting.
Yeah, just a little, but yeah, but it would have been something. But it looks like the Vipers' season is just about done, and once that's done, that means the South is just about put to bed. So,
yep, and won't really. I don't want to go too much into this at the moment because I don't want to be disrespectful to the team in question. But for those of you who might not be paying attention to what's happening in the league right now in the standings, there is the potential for an historic occurrence here in 2021. We'll see what shakes out toward the end of the season here, and we'll talk about that a little more. And no, we're not talking about the damage, possibly missing the playoffs. That, of course, is another potentially historic occurrence, but this arguably a much, much bigger accomplishment, and we'll see where things stand. I think once if what we're talking about is still left on the table at the start of the playoffs, Mike, that it's sort of fair game to talk about at that point, and maybe we'll go into it on our playoff opening preview show here in a couple weeks.
Either that, or if you're thinking what I'm thinking, maybe we come on the last week of the regular season, put a jinx on this team to ensure this team doesn't do what you're talking about. Maybe we'll do that instead.
You know, now that we are down into divisional play again here the last few weeks of the season, there are really low odds
that
this team is not going to enter the playoffs with this still in the conversation. So yes. I don't know that any amount of jinxing that we could do at this stage really would make any difference. Not to be too coy about it, guys, but seriously, kind of like a no-hitter situation here. Don't want to say too much too soon. And all that, but
I think everybody knows what we're talking about at this point.
I'm not sure. I've not heard a lot of chatter about it. Just a little bit. I think, you know, a handful of owners are kind of paying attention to it. But if you're not and you're curious, you don't have to do a whole lot of research. Just take a look at the standings. Take a look at the matchup schedules and the wins and losses across the board this year. And anyway, we'll move right on, but that's a little tease. Yeah. Mike, any other league updates you want to hit here before we move on?
Yeah, to be honest, there isn't anything else super interesting outside of those playoff races. I guess we should talk about Scott's kind of reemergence on the forum since we're here. We can talk about that for a minute.
Sure, we can. I mean, I'm briefly, of course, Scott of the Scorpions, or the former Scorpions. How should we refer to him now? Scott of Scottsdale. How's that for now? of course, Scott took a, how should we frame this? Took a bit of a hiatus.
A sabbatical, if you will.
Yes, at around the, I guess, the late summer, early fall there last year. I can't recall exactly when that was, but, former BDL champion Scott of the Scorpions, still hanging around here in the BDL community. I'm personally happy to see that. I thought Scott always raised the competitiveness of his division certainly, and of the league in general. I think having him around is a good thing. And I understand that, he's interested in contributing to the league in the form of some additional BDL podcast network content. So we're happy to see potentially, hopefully, the reemergence of the Stinger podcast pretty soon. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and interested to see in what direction he takes that show. And I always enjoyed it. Mike, life happens sometimes, and we all have different personalities, and things kind of get in the way of good situations from time to time. But we're all human beings, and I think it's with Scott still wanting to be involved, wanting to contribute, and loving the BDL clearly as much as he does to want to be involved, even when he doesn't have a team to manage at this time. I think that just kind of speaks volumes of where Scott's loyalties and allegiances lie, and it speaks volumes of the quality of the BDL. So
yep.
I guess that's what I would have to say on that topic.
Yep, I'm glad to have him back. And now, granted, there are a couple rumors out there. One is he heard this show and was so jealous at how great we sounded that he felt the need to reinsert himself and get his show going on. Yeah, that's one rumor I've heard. The other rumor I've heard, this one's a little uglier, that the BDL was going to incorporate a relegation system next year, and the team that came 16th was going to be kicked out of the league and he was going to take their spot. That's what I heard. Just throwing it out there. So I'm not sure if this is true or not, if you can speak to this rumor. I may have just made it up. Just saying, but...
That is a long, how should we frame this now? That is a long standing rumor actually in the league, and if I'm not mistaken, that idea has been floated out there a few times.
Has it?
It has. And I am neither confirming nor denying the possibility of adopting such a model.
Now, what league would we bump him to? Joe's league? Like, what would we do to the team that came last?
I guess we would have to relaunch the Cracker Jack League.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's probably a really bad idea. Yeah, that's probably not something we're gonna do.
Well, hey guys, listen, we are. And Scott, seriously, we are glad to have you back. Yeah. And glad to see you on the forum. Yep. and chiming in and working on some new content. So welcome back. We missed you, and our show is still going to kick your ass every week.
We certainly are. And Scott, by the way, with that thread when you posted, it was actually kind of funny because you apologized to me and I completely forgot what it is that you did. And I had to go back and read the old thread to even remember what it was, what it was that happened that had you leave the league last fall. So yes, apology accepted. And honestly, going through the thread, I couldn't figure out what the hell you did wrong to me. But hey, apology accepted.
Good deal. Well, so Mike, of course, we're always on the prowl for new content on this show and new things to talk about. So we were kicking tires on a new segment to feature in this edition, number 9 of the Inside Pod, and we have come up with an incredibly creative name for this segment, and we're calling it, get this, Mount Rushmore.
No one does this. This is unheard of in sports talk. no one ever talks about the Mount Rushmore of anything. So we thought we would be the originators of this concept and throw it out there.
Good deal. Yep. Yeah. We are the first to come up with this concept. We really, you know, sat down one day recently, put on our creative thinking caps and came up with this. And we really should trademark it, I suppose, so that it doesn't get stolen by other content providers out there. Yep. But anyway, so we're going to try this on a rolling basis here on the show. It'll pop up from time to time, as long as it doesn't completely suck. And just full disclosure, it might completely suck. But hey, you know, you got to throw things at the wall every now and then. But so the first shot we're going to take with this segment is, drum roll, Mount Rushmore of BDL club names. Okay, so this is the four best, by the standards of this show, club names in the history of the Black Diamond League. This has nothing to do with performance.
Oh, it certainly doesn't, especially when you look at my list. This has nothing to do with performance.
This is all about creativity, originality, marketability, all of these made up terms that we use when we talk about naming fantasy baseball clubs. But really, yeah, just the most memorable kind of out of the box club names rather that kind of just stick out over time and you just kind of difficult to not remember. So I think we decided to take this turnabout. I mean, it's going to be a collective list here. So Mike, you'll take a shot. I'll take a shot. And then back to you, and then back to me, and then we'll have our four club names that belong on the Mount Rushmore of BDL club names, and we'll discuss it, we'll debate it, and see if what we've done makes sense, if anybody's been left out. But why don't you take it away? You've got the first shot. These are in, you know, this is a Mount Rushmore, so it's not a ranking. You know, this is a group of four, and you can, you know, consider them in any order that you wish, 1-4, 4-1, whatever. This is a Mount Rushmore list. It's not a ranking. So, Mike, take it away. What's your first one?
It sounds good. So I have picked one. I was kind of hoping to pick later in the draft to get some value here. I think this one might be a bit of a reach at one. But as someone who grew up on Saved by the Bell and who's madly in love with Kelly Kapowski, I got to go with the Bayside Bums. Horrible team. Good team name. Not only because the Bayside thing, but they stunk. So the Bayside Bums made a lot of sense for that roster. And then, you know, when you talk about, you know, the ability to make posters and T-shirts, when you can throw Amber Thiessen, whatever the hell name is, Amber Thiessen.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen. There we go. Get Tiffany it right. Amber
Thiessen, whatever the hell her name was. I know her as Kelly Kapowski. When you throw Kelly Kapowski on a bunch of T-shirts and posters,
Let me just make sure that this is. I had a Kelly Kapowski poster on my wall.
This does not surprise me.
She was such a babe.
Now, granted, was it really a Kelly Kapowski poster, or was it really AC Slater? And you just told everybody it was Kelly Kapowski. Which one was it, Scott?
No, it was definitely Kelly. I'm very racist.
All right. So pick one is the Bayside Bums.
I'm a little taken aback by this pick. The Bayside Bums, I made a quick list of six just to have a list for myself here. Didn't know how this would go, and Bayside is not on my list whatsoever.
I got a funny feeling all of my names are not going to be on your list.
I don't know about that, but now I do see where you're coming from. Bayside Bums, it is original, kind of original. Al, who owned and managed the Bums, he didn't
get fantasy baseball. Is this what you're trying to get at?
No, that just did not work. The team was. I mean, if we were making we should save this for a later segment. I think the Bums would also make the list of the Mount Rushmore of the worst teams in the history of the league.
I think we would knock out the other three presidents and just have a big statue of him. Yes.
Yeah. I think so too. Without question. If I'm not mistaken, the Bums, that was the team with which the Killer Cars acquired Justin Upton, who was at the time the top prospect in baseball or close to it.
Yes.
The Killer Cars acquired Upton from the Bums for Steven Pierce.
That sounds right. And I remember the forum exploding when that trade happened.
Yes, that is in my mind, probably the most infamous trade in the history of the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay. Well, I don't have any say in this. It was your pick. So the Bums are on the Mount Rushmore of BDL club names, I guess. Right. This is already so far off the rails.
Now, at this point, do you only get pick two or do you get two and three? Is this a sneak draft or one and one?
I mean, it doesn't. At the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference. I get two picks. You get two picks. We could go in any order, really.
Sounds good.
I'll just take the next one for good measure. And just going down my list, I really honestly, and this is – you know, it's not because we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. I think Kill Devil Hills Elevation is actually a really cool name for a club. I really like the name. Ort has gone through actually three different franchise names during his ownership of that club. Of course, Kill Devil Hills being the most longstanding, and it has been in place now for what, like 10 years. I just think it's a really cool name, Kill Devil Hills. You know, a great location for a fantasy club. Elevation. I've always assumed. I've never actually asked this question.
YouTube.
I've always assumed
it's a U2 reference.
Yeah. You know, I guess knowing Ort, what else would it be? I really like it. I really like it, and I think it speaks to kind of Ort's place in the league as well as being such a mainstay. Yeah. In the league and kind of always just being right there. You know, he's never won a championship, but he's been on the cusp several times, and he's always in the conversation for one of the more attentive team owners in the league. So I think this works.
That's a good name.
All right, you got next.
Okay, so I got next. Now, this is my second and final pick. Now, I had a list of four team names. The Bums was number one. I wanted to get that one. Got that one. Now, there were three other teams that I was looking at. One of them, interestingly enough, was one of Ort's other team names, the Eastside Idiots. I really like that one. I thought that one also perfectly described Ort in this league. So just like the Elevation, I thought that one was a good one. But that one was fourth on my list. Two and three on my board are still both there. Now, this one is really tight. Now, being that it's 2021, and this would have worked in 2020 as well, the Baltimore epidemic would have been a perfect team name to put on Mount Rushmore, just given the time we are living in. But yeah, given that would be a bit of a downer to throw out there. I just thought it was very appropriate to have that one on there. But I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going to go with number two on my list. And being the a-hole that I am, and because I know this is going to cause problems in your household, I'm going to pick the Jupiter Joe Sox just so I can tell your wife that I picked her name as one of my draft picks and you didn't. So I'm going to take the Jupiter Joe Sox, a team that has never missed the playoffs in the last 13 years, as we all know. So I got the Joe Sox. And that's my pick.
You are such a suck up blowhard. This is ridiculous.
I am. Can't wait to tell her that you didn't pick your own wife's team name. And now, if you take the Generals, you're a dead man. But go ahead and make your pick.
I am not going to pick the Generals. I happen to love my team name, but I don't. It's probably not. Gotham City and Generals. I don't think it's quite original enough to make this list. So I'm just trying to be honest. But
it's no Rockland Rockets, certainly.
It's absolutely not. They did not make my list either.
That's what we should.
Jupiter Joe Sox, actually, I will have to admit, I think it's a really cool name.
Combining
the name of the owner with an historic baseball nickname Sox, plugging it with a neat Florida city, Jupiter. Yeah. Jupiter Joe Sox. It really rolls off the tongue. It's kind of a shame that it's almost been lost to history in the BDL.
Yeah.
That franchise name, because it's actually kind of neat.
It is.
So
it's also kind of a wrestling tie-in. Double J.
There you go. Yeah. Double J.
Throw that one.
I Yeah, it was not on my list, but
of course it was.
I don't.
Nice husband. If my wife had a team in this league, I would have had her team name on my list. Because I love my care about my family. You, on the other hand, didn't even have it on your list of six. Hope you're proud. I hope you're proud of yourself, Scotty. I hope you're proud of yourself.
It is what it is. So the way this has played out, my second pick, and now to round out our Mount Rushmore, you mentioned the whole league is going to think we're totally sucking up to Ort in this segment. It was not planned that way. I swear to you all. You mentioned the East Side Idiots. I actually went the other direction. I loved Beltway Billy Goats.
That wasn't bad either.
Truly, truly did. And it is next on my list. That is what I had, based on what is left. And, I would throw it on there. I think Billy Goats is a really neat mascot, a name for a fantasy team. Beltway made sense. You know, again, kind of rolls off the tongue. Beltway Billy Goats. I love it. I love it. You know, we have a history of some really cool team names in this league that are no longer around, that you kind of wish in some form or fashion could be utilized, in some way. But, it is what it is. But just to recap, so we have a Mount Rushmore of BDL club names firmly in place now. The Bayside Bums, the Kill Devil Hills Elevation, the Jupiter Joe Sox, and the Beltway Billy Goats. Congratulations to all.
Joe Beth, remember this. He picked two of Ort's team's names before he picked yours. Remember that. Shameful, Scotty. Absolutely shameful. And amazing.
It's okay.
And amazing that you didn't just assume that I was going to go in that direction. I was actually going to make your first pick, but thought, you know what? Let me give him a chance to be a good husband, a good team name. Nope. Didn't even have her on the board.
What
was on your board?
I know. What was that?
For your six teams, what teams did you have?
I'll give you my, I guess we'll call these my honorable mention now with everything that's already off the board and on Mount Rushmore. But the other ones I had down, these are in no particular order, by the way. I'll name them out. Ahwatukee Amish Brotherhood. I think it's a great name.
It is.
Honestly a great name. Wrigleyville Woo, I find to be a very iconic BDL name. It's one of those names I would hate if for some reason it ever was not a part of the BDL. It just kind of is part of the DNA of the league. I think it's a great name. Another kind of not really a surprise, Portsmouth Wallabies. You don't really hear Wallabies used as a mascot very often for much of anything, certainly not in sports. I think there's precedent for it a little bit, but I think it's pretty unique. And I have one kind of off the wall that made the end of my list here. And I don't even know if you guys remember Ryan, but North Portland Nuts.
I remember the name.
Yeah. That rounds out my honorable mentions.
It's a good list. It's a good long list. Yep. Not picking your wife. Nice, Scotty. Nuts. Very nice.
It is what it is.
Yes.
It is what it is. Hopefully.
I don't know.
Hopefully, I won't pay for it.
But counselors for marriage counseling is very expensive, my friend. Very expensive.
We'll get by.
Yeah, I think so. You'll be all right.
Well, Mike, speaking of Ort, speaking of the Billy Goats and the Idiots and the Elevation, our special guest tonight, we are very proud to have Ort with us on the show. It was fun to catch up with Ort. It's been a long time since I was on the line with Ort for any reason or got to see him at a BDL event. So had a good time catching up, and we can't wait for you guys to hear this interview. I thought it went really well. It was a good interview, a good discussion, and we're going to throw it on over to our chat with Ort right now.
King of the Buffaloes.
Okay, guys, we are here with Ort for the Kill Devil Hills Elevation. Ort, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on. How you feeling, buddy?
Doing better. Thanks for asking, and happy to be here.
Great, great. Well, you know, just first things first, we're, of course, thrilled to see you back in the saddle after you know, a bit of a scare this summer. And I know it's not been the best of times in the Ort House and not in the Kill Devil Hills clubhouse either. But just know you were certainly on everyone's mind, and we hope to hear that you're very much on the mend.
I appreciate it. Can you believe that you've known me for 2 heart surgeries already?
Yeah. I mean, that's a little nutty. It's a little nutty. What was the, was it a John Lester baseball that we got you as a league for the first?
Right. 2008.
Yeah.
Craig, handed it to me. You guys pitched in, and it says survivor on it, John Lester, when he was with the Sox. And
right.
Yeah, I still have that ball. It's really cool. You know, what's so sad is I finally got Lester this year, and it was like a good luck charm, but he's so horrific I couldn't take it anymore.
It is what it is. Sometimes you just got to move on.
Yeah.
But Mike, why didn't you remind us we could have gotten him like a signed, I don't know, a Grady Sizemore ball or something this time.
Yeah, to be honest, you know, when you get ill the first time you get surgery, you know, it's a gift. Fine. Once you do 2-3 times, almost like getting married a second and third time, you know, we get you a gift for the first wedding. We're not going to bring you something for the second and third. You know, that's just asking too much of us. You know, as a league, that's just too much to ask.
Well, they tell me that I should be good for 20 years plus. So I don't know.
Okay. If it's going to be 20 years, yes, then maybe we can get you a gift. That's fine. Okay. That's fair.
If the BDL's still around in 2041, cool.
I don't
get
know
you
if,
a Daddy Grow Junior football or so, junior ball.
One of our children might be running the league by then, but yes. Hopefully it'll still at least be around. And that's the sad commentary, I think, on the league right now, and the fact of how old we're getting is that we're having to talk about a transition plan for the freaking BDL, you know, and who's going to be there when we all fall over. But yeah. So, Ort, I don't know if you had an opportunity, hopefully, to catch the last episode of the Inside Pod number 8. Did you catch the last show there last week?
I did not. Not yet.
Okay. Well, you're going to need to, because, sir, you are wearing a crown, thanks to us. You are the King Buffalo.
Okay.
I'm sure you have no idea what that, Mike, why don't you tell Ort what exactly that means?
Yeah, basically, this is something that Scotty put together, Ort. You know, he basically wanted to talk about, you know, the biggest losers in our league. And he didn't even have you winning as the biggest loser in the league. I had you win at least. He's just kind of a dick, to be honest with you. But I had you as number one, Ort.
Nice.
Yeah.
Off to such a roaring start here.
It was basically like the Buffalo Bills of the BDL sort of thing. I think he did it just to take a shot at my Bills, and this is how we got there.
It is what it is.
Always the bridesmaid, well, yeah.
Yes, never the bride. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you were the you were in the finals of the King Buffalo tournament with your buddy Johnny of the Killer Cars, just in case you're wondering. So you guys were duking it out for the bridesmaid honor there in the BDL, and yeah.
It was just funnier with Johnny losing, so we added him lose. That's all it was. just a lot funnier. That's all.
Did you compare the overall record with us two?
Yeah. Basically, yes. Overall record, finals appearances, playoff appearances. That's wow. What I mean. Yeah.
I love how Joe commented that he almost got the 500, but then tanked again.
That is
it's a common story in Amishville, unfortunately.
well, we'll get right into making the most fun possible of your team, more so than we are now here shortly. But I guess I'm just going to start by paying you a really big compliment. You know, you're probably exhibit A for the prosecution, to use a court term there, for when it comes to a commissioner like me having to point out to others how Fantasy League membership is done right. Here, you know, here's a guy who has stayed in the air half the time, piloting for a major airline, who has a family on his off days. You know, yet I would be hard pressed to go through the forum logs and find a day that you've not at least poked your head in the door in some manner. So, just to start this off that way, kudos to you for that. Honestly, you're a top notch, in terms of BDL membership, and there really would be no replacement for you if anything ever happened. So,
well, that's very kind. Thank you. I know we've had a lot of discussions about forum use going down and what to do about that, because we all are older and have families and jobs and blah. But I think the core we have right now is doing just fine, and we keep up with everything and still have good discussions. Yep. So I'm happy with, you know, even taking a couple weeks off last month, getting right back into it. Everyone's still good to go.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what, just kind of in that vein, what these days, what keeps you engaged with the BDL now?
I think, you know, part of it is the connection with the OGs, knowing people for so long and having that bond and camaraderie, but also like seeing what the new guys are up to and how their strategies, and even up to the trade deadline, like going back and forth with some of these guys. Like, some trades were really easy, some were like not going to happen because we did not look eye to eye at all. So just having that knowing, you know, hey, Bill's going to send something that's ridiculous and it might not get done. Well, you know, and I did some trade. I did a trade with Steven, and I did trade with another relatively new guy that I thought went really, really well. So that's good to know that even though I'm not out there vulturing like some people do on the new guys, I still better engage them and try, you know, get our both teams better at some point. And I think that's, at least being, you know, fair to a point where, hey, even if we don't look eye to eye, like, hey, this prospect, I don't get, why are you trying to offer it to me? At least we can have a discussion about it and say, you know what, maybe we'll come back around to that another time. It was nice to talk to you. I'm glad we did this. So.
Yeah. And I think kind of along those lines in a roundabout way, one thing I think the BDL could use more of, and you alluded to it a little more in you know, you're describing your conversations with some of those guys. I think the BDL could use more kind of smaller offhand trades. Like, you don't really see that many that, you know, for, you know, just like prospects for prospects or, you know, just, you know, fill in major league players for, you know, a prospect or two who are out of the top 100, you know, or something. I thought the trade, for instance, that the Elevation and the Gens pulled off there, I guess it was preseason or it might've been the start of the season, for the outfielder Calhoun, kind of a good example of that. Now that has totally wrecked me. You know, he's been hurt for most of the year now. But you know, those things happen, but just in general, you know, I wish we saw a little more of that kind of engagement and not everyone always having to go for the big home run swing. Now, you know, with that said, I'm certainly very guilty of that myself. So I understand it. I understand the draw to kind of look at the base of a package and see how you can make it bigger, how you can fill more holes, you know, in one shot. You know, I've done that many times. I totally get it. But
yeah, I think your comment on that one was, or took prospects and didn't really think twice. It was like, what's happening here?
Yeah. That was a bit of an odd exchange.
And I flipped at least two or three of those guys already for something else. So.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised. Well, you know, or if the BDL ever had a Rodney Dangerfield, I wonder, is it you? And I say that to mean this. In 14 seasons, you've rattled off 7 playoff appearances. I think those numbers are right, including 2 BDL finals berths, all the while, it could be argued, remaining in a constant state of being overlooked as one of the more elite GMs. So I'm just going to come out and say it. You don't get enough respect. And why do you think that is?
I think part of it began with the picture streaming way back in the day when we were the Beltway Billy Goats or wherever the hell I was. you know, I would put up like, I don't know, 120 innings a week, and people just hated that because I automatically took wins and strikeouts away from them. Now, that said, I was handing away ERA and WHIP almost automatically too. So it was almost tying 2 categories and taking them off the board, and then we're going to fight for 6. Another thing I think is kind of my general dismissal of prospects to a point, although I'm trying to get better at that. I actually went for some top ranked guys this year and just didn't want to pay the price, really. You know, I guess, you know, our prospect expert Matt will always say I have the worst farm team because I have major leaguers on the minor leagues. And so not having 10 ranked guys automatically makes it a failure. But I think those 2 things are part of it. Maybe, I don't know. I used to come off a little crass back in the day with some people because I just didn't take some of their comments as on the chin as some would. But I think as we all grew older, we kind of get a little softer and kind of more chill. So,
Agreed. Well, yours is the only BDL club to have sported 3 completely different identities under the same ownership. We've talked about this a little bit already this show. You broke into the league in late 2007. Holy crap, we've been around together a long time. Taking over the former Tenacious Sluggers, which was one of our 5 founding franchises. I think people, too, forget how long the Elevation as a franchise has been around. It's been around since the genesis of the BDL. The club played under the Eastside Idiots banner in 2008.
Love that name.
And then made another brief pit stop in Beltway as the Billy Goats the following season. So finally, in 2010, 11 freaking years ago, you adopted your current moniker, the Kill Devil Hills Elevation. So what was the inspiration for each team identity, and why has the Elevation stuck?
So my thought was because my wife was a travel nurse and we kept moving all around the country, I would just keep changing my name to where we lived. So I think when I picked up the team, we were actually living in New York City on the east side of Manhattan. So there's your East Side Idiots, because I didn't know what I was doing. Okay. So I'm the idiot. And then we moved to Washington, D.C., which would be the Beltway, and then the Billy Goats with the Cubs fan thing. And then Kill Devil Hills, obviously North Carolina. We moved there, and then we've been here in North Carolina since. So I stopped changing the names.
Good deal. Well, needless to say, plenty of worthwhile distractions in your life could pull you away at any time, could pull any of us away. And, you know, we've seen it happen before, yet you maintain a competitive fantasy club year in and year out in spite of that. You know, you obviously haven't always qualified for the playoffs, but I don't think you've ever, quote unquote, you know, taken a season off. So is it addiction? Is it a competitive drive? What keeps fuel in the tank for the Elevation?
I think having a job where I do have a lot of downtime when I'm away and I'm able to really dive deep into it is a nice distraction. Also, I don't have that willingness to completely chop the team apart and wait several years. I that's not something that I think I could have the patience for. So like stuff, and I'm not as good as obviously Bill and Mike at doing it, but you reload in certain spots and keep getting the team better without blowing it up to a point when you get frustrated with it.
Yeah. So I tried to research prior to the show today when the last time was that the league heard from you on the BDL airwaves, but I actually had trouble finding it, which leads me to a question I can't believe I even have to ask. Have you never guest appeared on a BDL podcast before?
I did several Stuck in the Ivies for sure.
Okay. That's what Mike and I were talking about this off the air. That's what I wondered, if maybe it was on one of the TV shows. Yeah. Cause I went through the old TMO files and some of the other shows, couldn't find anything. And I thought, how on earth is this even possible? You know,
That's how it's possible. Johnny didn't want to run the show. This is why he's never been on before. I came on as a co-host here, and I had to beg Scotty episode after episode, let's get Ort on. So I was like, nope, not bringing him on. I'm not sure what he did to you in the past, but it took a lot of begging, and finally we got you on.
I told you earlier, we wanted to save Ort for his playoff push at the end of the show.
Well, that's what you told me to tell him, but that's not what we've actually been talking about, but sure, sure.
And my evil plan was all coming together because I was up like 9-1 on the Woo, and now he's coming back, and I don't think it's going to happen. But
how the hell did that? The Woo's making a comeback? Those are words not spoken.
I know,
it
doesn't make sense.
Jeez, it really doesn't.
I'm positive we taped a TMO at some point, and then it didn't take, and then we could never get back together to fix it.
Yeah, that is true. There is a lost episode of TMO that I guess just for lack of a more sophisticated way to put it, the internet sort of ate it, and it never saw the light of day. I'm honestly not sure if part of that audio track even exists anymore. But in any case, you know, I think it would be fun to talk about maybe since I don't know if you've ever talked about this before. To the league or not, but just a couple little fun questions. What fantasy baseball experience did you have prior to joining the BDL? I know we're talking like
a long time ago,
like 14, 15 years ago now, but just be interesting to take a little look and stroll through down memory lane.
Craig had gotten me into a redraft league. I don't remember if it was his or a friend's. And I had played in that for probably 4 or 5 years, but I had no dynasty experience in baseball. I had football keeper league. And so I think that was part of the appeal that you saw, because you were in the, were in the football league with me prior to the BDL possibly. And
yeah, I think that's right.
You said, hey, this guy could probably cut it. Let's give him a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I get occasionally virtual eyebrows lifted when I say the BDL was my first dynasty league too. And it's to this day, you know, I was originally a fantasy football player, which, you know, I think at that time in the early 2000s, that defined most sports fans. You know, it was easier to get into, you know, without a whole lot of research, and you know, the season is not that long. But once I got a taste of fantasy, you know, I was already a much bigger baseball fan and thought, you know, there are ideas here that could be applied to a really wicked baseball league. And that's kind of how the BDL, the early idea was born. And because it ended up working out and being such a quality league, I've never really had a reason to, you know, obviously to look at other leagues. You know, this is the league for me. So
I agree.
What, of course, I know there was the Global Gridiron Football League that Craig set up. Of course, the BDFL. I'm sure other fantasy leagues you've been involved with over the years, with maybe other sets of friends and such. What has the BDL across this amount of time now? What has it taught you about being successful in fantasy?
You know, my son is asking to get into all these leagues because he hears me talk about it, or he sees me looking at it enough. And he says, "Why do you do a league that has no money in it?" I said, "Because it's so hard." And he said, "Well, why do you want to do something that's so hard?" I'm like, "Because it's a challenge. And it takes not so much of your time every day, but if you're not paying attention to the whole picture, you can slip behind pretty quickly." Not a daily basis, but sometimes, you know, stuff comes out so fast now, and certainly a weekly and monthly basis. Speaking of when we get older, I think we'll have a couple kids that are interested just because they're like, "Why are you looking at that thing again?" I'm like, "Because I have to get the next waiver guy."
Oh, yeah. Well, by all indications, kind of shifting to the 2021 version of the elevation and keeping your eye on the ball, by all indications, you're headed for your first early exit in a BDL season in 3 years, I think. The playoffs aren't mathematically impossible to attain, but it's a long shot. Is there a disappointment for you, or were you prepared for a down year this season?
Not in the numbers or the players, but certainly my focus was elsewhere this year. So it takes a little sting out of it. Sure. Because I kind of punted it, saying, you know what, it is what it is. I'll keep an eye on it. I'll do the best I can, but I'm not going to get upset about it. And certainly looking into the future and kind of saying this year's kind of, it is what it is. I've certainly tried to get more youth into the lineup that might or might not pan out. But I have flipped quite a few older guys looking ahead to next year and several years down the road. So I haven't given up there's a chance, but we're certainly looking forward to the next couple of years with what we've done with trades and whatnot.
Well, speaking of the next couple of years, how off guard were you caught by the cramps meteoric rise this year?
You know, I remember when he got somebody early on and Mike said, "Well, he's going to be the favorite." And I looked at it and I'm like, what are you really? Just that one transaction is all of a sudden he's amazing. And I kind of looked at it and I'm like, yeah, that team. But when you've been in a division with the cramps for so long, you never know if it's going to work out, because he can have the top three outfielders in all of baseball, and then his pitching just craps the bed, basically. And like he said in the podcast, I can hang with him most years, but this year I can't. There's no way. He's put it together where, and we'll see what's going to happen in the playoffs, but they're certainly the team to beat after the cramps and the Rockets.
Yeah, I should take this moment just to remind everyone listening that I did, of course, pick the elevation to win the 2021 West Division crown. So,
yeah. It's embarrassing. Absolutely.
Still with you, buddy. Still with you.
You know, and I was thinking about this the other day, like how the cycles work across the league, where, you know, the East is always going to be pretty top heavy there's always going to be two or three teams that are always there, including the Rockets and the Damage, right? Same division? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The South has had its, you know.
It's been a rough decade, Mark. It's been a rough decade.
The North.
If Art was in the South, he would be the favorite right now. We wouldn't be talking about he's having a We wouldn't be having a tough year for Art. It'd be like, oh boy, Art's up 17 games right now in the division.
Yeah, I think I've taken advantage of a weak division over the years also. So there's
it happens,
And it'll come around, I think, because there's no one that's not trying. But for some reason, the West was really, really strong for a couple of years, maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. And now it's not great again. So I think Brian's really taken advantage of that. And that's not to say that his record's inflated and his team's not great, but you do kind of feast on your weaker opponents within your schedule at some point, depending on the year.
Yeah.
Well, just to drill down on that a little more, the Cramps have added 45 wins over their total from the last full BDL season 2 years ago in 2019. Gosh, that's with 3 weeks of wins and losses yet to be posted in the standings. The Elevation, on the other hand, haven't won the division in 5 years. And with what Crawford is doing in the West right now, or what do you think it's actually going to take for anyone, the Elevation or anyone else in the West, to slow down Crawford over these next 2 to 3 seasons?
That's a question I think we're all struggling with. it could be bad luck. Like half his team could get injured at some point. A couple weeks ago, I had like 12 people on the IL, and I'm like, how am I supposed to even start a lineup? So it happens, and you just put the Band-Aids on the best you can, and sometimes you have enough depth to get through the storm. But it doesn't look great for the West for this year, next year, maybe the next year. So we'll see what happens. I think that John is who John is. I'm not sure what he's planning on, but I'll keep being a thorn in Brian's side. And the Lions, I like at least how they're putting their team together, and they're going to be competitive at some point. So we'll see.
Well, speaking of being a thorn, and you mentioned your tendency earlier to stream. You're the only GM in league history to lead a club to a season of more than 1,700 strikeouts and 140 pitching wins in the same year. That was several years ago in 2014. And that wins mark that you set then wasn't even enough to best your own record in the same category, which happened in 2009 when you posted 145 on the year. Did pitching become the backbone, and specifically the strategy with your pitching, I should say, become the backbone of your franchise by design, or was it happenstance? How did that give us a little more insight into the engineering of the Elevation roster?
So that's a two-part thing, and we'll get to the second part. So when I got the team from the Tenacious Sluggers, I didn't have a whole lot of really high-end pitching. And so going up against some teams that would just bludgeon you with ERA and WHIP, and you just couldn't even come close to that, I'm like, well, just looking at the different categories, how to put together a week, I just started going for strikeouts. And I would find, and before the K per nine was a big sabermetrics thing, I would just pour through the stats and get whoever had the highest K rates to win that category. And to a point, it worked. And then the Volison initiative came up and screwed that up because we had to add more batters. And then after that, what was a weird thing is that other teams actually were getting more innings than me, even though they complained that I was still streaming. I'm like, well, look at the numbers. And even now today, like occasionally I'll have the most pitching per season, but usually I'm maybe third or fourth or fifth sometimes now. And I wonder if that's because the quantity is not keeping up with the quality, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, the teams that have really good staffs, those guys are going out seven innings every week, where I'm just pushing together whoever I can find. And I don't know that it's a struggle right now to kind of come up with a good strategy, because it does change and we've evolved and, you know, different managers coming in and out and how they play. So we'll see. It's a good question because I haven't really been able to come up with a new plan yet.
Sure. Sure. Well, just to shift over to a few general questions about the league and the current membership roster and those things, just out of curiosity, some more fun questions. Name for us the GM currently in the BDL that you love, that you most love to root for, of course, other than yourself.
That I love to root for. You know,
Okay, no one. So the answer is no one.
He doesn't like any of us.
That would be my answer. I mean, that would be my answer.
So. Because he's Mike's Mr. Nice, and he gets along with everyone. But when his team's so good all the time, it's so annoying.
What?
Mr. Nice and gets along with everyone. Listen to the man, Scott. He knows what he's talking about.
I don't know what's happening right now on this show. This is not. This is madness.
I would, you know, we all miss Mark a lot. He was one of my guys, also, for sure.
Yeah, me too.
At the same, you know, I don't root against Joe or like Johnny. But we all make fun at their expense, and so it's nice when they put together a team that works. Yeah,
and then blow it up. Well,
sure that just happens in the same week.
I would love to say Scott, but what you did to me, I can't forgive that.
Yikes!
Yeah,
shots fired. So the other side of that coin, name the team that you love to most root against.
Currently. You know, it was always the Damage for like a decade, but Bill's becoming a little more reasonable. I don't know what happened. So I'm going to have to say the Cardinals, just because they came on and won so quickly. It was almost like, who does this guy think he is? But no, I like Matt. But it's annoying that it happened so quick for him.
Understand. So kind of to put you on the spot a little bit here, I guess this is a mean question, but you know, maybe it'll give somebody a wake up call. Is there a team currently that you believe is just spinning its wheels?
Generals.
The South Division leading Generals cannot, by definition, be spinning their wheels.
Oh, they can. Oh, they certainly
Michaela.
Can. Michaela.
You know, after the last two shots at the Cars and Amish, I'll go with the Wallabies. Like, they always were at least competitive against the, you know, handing you the title every year. But now it's like, Brent, what's going on, man? Like, you got to try, dude. I know you have a young child and all that. And, you know, come on, dude. I know he's still got players. It's just like, you can't pull a win for anything. So.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of a platform here, and I guess maybe I should have prepared you for this question to think about it a little bit, but you might have something at the top of your mind. What is one change that you would just really love to see made in this league?
Yeah, you know where I'm going with that.
I think I know.
And I really don't have a plan or a solution, but the closer problem just drives me crazy.
You and I both. You
And
and I both. It
taking
drives
the
me
saves out
nuts.
of it is probably not a great idea either. But if someone really smart could come up with like the numbers to show there's really only like seven closers that keep their job year over year. So you watch Bill chasing all these relievers, and I'm like, what are you doing, dude? You're taking up like six spots on your lineup to try to get a save, and it's bonkers to me. Now, at the same time, having him doing that might free up a player that we can get. So,
I think that's why we have to keep the closers, because that opens up different
yeah.
strategies. It's almost kind of like when you would do all your streaming, people would complain about that. And my counter to that is, well, he's going after guys you wouldn't be
Correct.
interested in
Yeah.
anyways. Let him do it. That opens up other guys in the wire that you're going to be able to pick up, you know?
I guess just from my point of view, and I'm like Ort in that I'm not proposing a solution. I don't know what the solution is, but I don't think there's a good comp for the current market value of closers in a dynasty baseball league. The market value is just so off the charts compared to what you pay for other even quality
Yeah.
position players in a lot of cases. And that is something to me that just the economy of fantasy baseball in relation to closers drives me nuts. It
Well,
honestly
closers
drives me
used to
crazy.
get like a first round pick, especially when Joe demanded it, and now he can't sell it for a third or a fourth. And baseball has changed where even if you have a dominant closer on a team that's not doing well, they're going to sell that closer to a contender because they can get a prospect for it. And so now, from a fantasy standpoint, you have this great closer that you've been depending on, and now he's basically worthless because he's gone to be the setup guy for the Yankees. And you're like, well, what did I pay for him for? Like, so it's really frustrating in that sense.
I think to be honest, over the past couple of years, I think the market for closers has really dropped dramatically in the BDL, which is a good thing, honestly. You know, for 2 or 3 years there, things were getting pretty crazy with the valuation some guys had on them.
Has it really, though?
It
I mean, has it
has. It
really?
really has. I think so. Who's the last top closer that got a huge price via the trade market?
I off the top of my head, I would have to go back and look. I don't recall.
As an example, we just went through the trade deadline. Historically, 3, 4 years back, the biggest prices were always on closers. Those guys would always move at the deadline because if you were a bad team and you had a closer, you were always going to get huge value for them. This year, none of those guys moved. Just because, to Orr's point, teams don't have number one established closers all the time. Typically now, with teams that have a great reliever, they'll pitch them, you know, in the seventh, or pitch them in the eighth. It's all the whole high leverage thing has kind of taken over baseball, and that's kind of wrecked the value of closers in our league, which, to be honest, isn't the worst thing in the world, but it has changed the dynamic completely. Where in prior years you would see 3, 4 closers getting moved at the deadline, I think the only one that got traded this year was Diaz. I think the Wallabies moved Diaz, right? I think he's the only one that
Well,
moved
let
at
me
the
ask you this,
deadline.
Mike. You have four closers. Are you counting on them to all be there next month for you? Or you think one might slip out of the role?
To be honest, I'm certain one will, because one already has a different time this year. I have the Jays closer, who's the closer half the time, and sometimes he'll pitch the eighth, and sometimes he'll pitch the seventh. Like, it's just a bit of a mess when he pitches. Jansen was great for a couple months, then he couldn't find the strike zone with a map. You know, these guys just kind of go through, you know, their spurts of dominance and then not being good. I try to roster three or four of them whenever I can, just because I figure I'm going to lose one or two of those three or four. And it's for me, it's imperative to have at least two once you hit the playoffs, just because that's a category that you don't want to give away. So,
Scotty, you have.
I always try to roster. Scotty,
you really don't have any closers, do you?
He has Chapman, right?
Yeah. I have Chapman.
We'll see. I think you have two, right?
Yeah,
you have Chapman and you have Kubiak, who's a quasi closer in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's why I hesitated. You know, as far as, you know, I really don't have another closer comparable to Chapman, although Chapman's hurt at the moment.
I wonder if a team has ever won the BDL just punting the saves category completely.
No chance. No chance that would happen. Because to be honest, it's really just been your team that has gone just take all those pitching spots for starting pitching. And to be honest, it's a sensible strategy, because the theory being, you know what, if I can win wins and Ks every week, I might bump into ERA and WHIP, because if his team only has four pitchers on them and two guys blow up during the week, there's a chance I'm going to steal a category to that.
But every time I've made it deep in the playoffs, I've had at least two or three closers. So I haven't had the balls to try that yet.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, certainly my successful runs, I've always had good closers. So that is a good question, though. It would be interesting to go back and look through, you know, at the very least, the BDL finals participants to see if maybe anyone was there with a real shot, who didn't have elite, you know, at least a couple
good ones at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't see them punting one of the 10 categories and getting through four rounds. It's tough to do that.
Yeah, especially at that level when you get into the semis and then the finals, and you're really just trying to squeak out every little category the best you can, and that's tough. Well, Ort, I guess as we start to wind things down, just a few forward looking questions or a couple rather, you know, the elevation have never, you know, arguably never been considered really among the BDL's elite teams. I think we can say that, but they've also never been truly dreadful either. We've never really seen the elevation rebuild before. So is a youth movement something that you just can't stomach?
Yes and no. I can't do what Johnny does, where I get a bunch of teenagers and just wait, because I need to see results at some point. And I don't have the patience for that. But I think, you know, it's only taken me, 14, 15 years to tweak my strategies. replacing the ages has really become more of a focus for us. So, I remember when I was first in the league, was it, who was the Falcons?
Earn.
He would just go on tirades with you about age when you tried to send him something. Like, that guy's 32. I'm not trading for him. Are you insane? And I was like, God, this guy's just impossible to deal with. But I found myself in the last couple of years, especially when stuff has been proposed, I'll look at the age difference and say, no, I have to look ahead, because I don't like my roster really right now. And if I get, let's say I get six young guys that I like, hopefully two or three are going to be pretty good at some point. So that's kind of where I've evolved a little bit. Will I ever break it down into like what you did with the Gens a couple times, where you went all in with the picks and prospects and flipped them? I don't know if I have that in me, but you never know.
That's really hard. It's hard to do. And it's, you know, it's something I look at. I'm one of those types of roster builders who you know, I don't like to hit the middle ground. I like to be either elite or sold out completely and rebuilding hard. I mean, hard. And that's it. It's very difficult. You know, you have to have a very structured plan in place, and it's stressful. And I don't look forward to doing it again. I know that day is coming. I do know that, but that's tough. It's tough. So setting aside winning a championship, your team's critics might be quick to point to the fact that you've posted a winning percentage of 600 or higher only once in club history. That's, of course, if we set aside last year's championship bracket, kind of hard to compare that to anything else in the history of the league. So as we record this interview, the Elevation are closing in on a fourth consecutive year of sub 500 baseball. Starting this off season, what specifically are your next steps for the club?
Taking Brian out of the equation. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
You only have to beat him once, Art. You only have to beat him once. And if you make the playoffs, it'll be you versus Crawford. So you never know.
I think part of that winning percentage has been strength of division over the years. As far as not getting up to 700 in the NorCal damage range. But you're right. You know, 3 out of 4's been a clunker after a really good run prior to that. So I don't think I've gotten that far ahead or even had a strategy in place that's really taken yet. So how about to be determined? I'll get back to you on that.
It sounds like good fodder for a follow-up interview.
And
so that's cool.
Having last year being weird and then this year kind of disappointing, it is good to look ahead and actually come up with something, because it's not fun to have kind of a substandard team for a while. So it's something that I certainly look forward to in the years to come.
Well, or looking at the playoff bracket right now, or the expected playoff bracket, and those who are on the bubble, give us your pick. Who's your favorite to win or law this year in the BDL?
You know, on paper, I gotta see will the Rockets. How does our bracket match up usually, or is it all seeding?
Yeah. So basically Gotham City is somehow the 2 seed. So they'll play the number one. They'll play Boston as of right now, and I'll play either Carolina or NorCal.
And then in the
Pacific, it'll certainly be Beers Mounties. And then it'll be Crawford versus either the Lions, the Elevation, or the Killer Cars, or the Amish.
Well,
that was wide open. As of right now, or actually based on the scores as of now, if the scores end the way they are, you're the 4th seed and you'll play Crawford.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Cramps. Not to jinx them per se, but
jinx them.
We know that for some reason the number 1 seed has a really hard time winning at all. So
this is true.
It's true.
The dark horse going into it, like who's going to be the Wallabies or the Bears? Not that Steven is a dark horse because his team's pretty good, but I give them a pretty good shot.
He better not win. I'll never hear the end of it.
Well, Ort, it was great to have you on, buddy. Great to catch up. We'll have to do it again soon, but we really appreciate you taking time to be here.
Good talking to you guys. Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Ort.
Okay. Ort, King Buffalo himself. Thanks, man, for joining the show today. Had a lot of fun catching up. Hope to talk to you again soon. Have you back on before too long. But that was a lot of fun, Mike.
It was. To be honest, I haven't spoken to Ort since I met him for the first time. Back in Philadelphia, who knows how many years ago, so that was nice.
Wow, that was
2011, maybe? That
2011, I think. I think it was 10 years
right.
ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think that's right. I think that's right. Yeah, yeah. A few shots fired in that interview. Yeah, I guess Brent got called out a little bit. He's going to have to shake a leg and maybe
we should get Brent on soon and have him respond.
We'll try to do that. We'll see if anyone can get in touch with Brent. Does anyone have Brent's number?
I would hope you would.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show. We will be back at you, I think, in a couple of weeks for a playoff preview episode. And we're getting that set up and in place now. So you can expect to see us coming back at you for that here pretty soon. So rounding the corner, Mike. And yep, it's an exciting time in the BDL. But thanks again, brother, for hopping on the line to get the show knocked out. And I will catch up with you next time.
Have fun, buddy. Good night, BDL.